Let's take our Bibles this morning and your notes and go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I will be talking very quickly this morning. And so we'll get through our message here. I trust it'll be a blessing as we look at our new theme. And our first word that we're going to examine in the year 2019 is the word refuel. Do you realize that many of us, we can drift off course? And that happens through a variety of ways. Perhaps it's health, or fatigue, or apathy, or financial pressures, or familial issues. Pragmatism, it is sweeping across churches like a tidal wave. And the issues of radical grace or redefining what the gospel means and reformed theology, they're taking us away from the important commands of Scripture. Crazy things are going on today with churches inviting different people to speak who believe differently. It's just concerning what's happening in our churches today. There are big extremes today. There's legalism way on our right, and then there's license on the left. Just live your life however you need. I realize we need encouragement, but at what price do we hurt and injure the church? The Apostle Paul is facing a dilemma. He has faithfully preached the Word of God. He's been in and out of prison, and now his call of ministry, what he's preaching, what he's teaching, has been called into question. Let's one last time stand together this morning, and out of honor and respect to the reading of God's Word, we'll look at one verse this morning. Here's the Apostle Paul answering his critics. The Apostle Paul, he is very straightforward, teaching a lesson to those who would doubt his ministry. He says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience." In other words, who are you to question these areas? You have known. My life has demonstrated. And I say, church, that our church has to be the same, that we have to be. Wait a second. No one should question our doctrine. It's going to be the Word of God. We're going to stay close to the Word of God. We're going to adhere to the principles of the Word of God. It is the pathway we're going to follow. And so, with that, who makes up the church? We do. Who makes up the church? We do. And so, church, I'd like to preach a message to our church this morning about the necessity to refuel. Father, would you help us be able to quickly but succinctly state the truths that need to be stated this morning. Help our church to grow. Help our church to get excited and reinvigorated and be willing to refuel their life. I pray that you will use these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to ask you several questions as we begin this morning. Is your calling sure? In other words, are you committed? Are you in? You know that God has saved you. There's no doubt about that. Is your vision clear? Are you able to see? Or has it become like some of our older folks who've recently had cataract surgery? It happens over time, and suddenly things are dim, and you can't see things as clearly. Is your vision clear? Is your passion hot? I have not lost my fervor for being a Christian. I've not lost my passion for being a pastor. Have you lost your passion for working in Awana? Have you lost your passion for visitation and telling others about Christ? Have you lost your passion when it comes to your ministry that you were called to serve in? Is your position steady? Oh, there's a lot of doctrine that's been put on shaky ground lately. There are preachers that may have tens of thousands of people, and by that I mean they may have 20,000 people coming to church, but just because you can put 20,000 people in a building, but you refuse to name sin, and you refuse to talk about the blood of Christ, may I just tell you, you're a false prophet, even if you could put 20,000 people in a building. So is your position steady? My friend, we're going to stand on the Word of God. The Bible says this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of that sin is death. And so I've got to tell people about Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this, that there's not some type of radical grace. Here it is. The Bible says this, for by grace are ye saved. Through faith. And who's that faith in? Jesus Christ and what he did. Is your position steady? Is my character submitted? Am I under the authority, even if you don't like it, are you under the authority of God and your church? A lot of times we chafe on that because we like to be super independent, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there actually is a line of authority in our life. Is your character submitted to that line of authority? Is my pride subdued? Oh, this world, because of sports, because of Hollywood, we have such an emphasis on the person, and that only lifts up that person in pride. My friend, that can have no place in the church. If someone wins 25 people, we don't emulate, hold them up, and put them on a pedestal. Because that's if someone wins one person, that's just as important as someone who wins 25. We should all be telling people, let the Holy Spirit do the work. We, within our church, we're not to build up pride and then focus on the man rather than the Savior. Is my pace sustainable? Sometimes we look at people who used to come. Why did they stop coming? Why did people stop serving? What happened in their pace? Is my love increasing? We become jaded as Christians. Hey, I got my religion. I don't need to tell anybody else. I've got this. I don't need to tell anybody. It's just for me. Do you forget somebody had to tell you? Do you forget that somebody had to love you enough to tell you about Jesus Christ? Sometimes we as Christians become hard-hearted or callous. We must develop our love so that we can continue to tell people. Are you developing your gifts? All of us have gifts. All of us have talents. Are you developing them? Are you using them in your church? Do you overcome fear? There's so many times that, well, I'm fearful of this, I'm fearful of that, so I'm not sure if I'm going to serve. Are you overcoming those fears? So five thoughts, if our time allows us, I'll go through it as quickly as possible. Well, maybe we'll get through all six thoughts, but here we go. Thought number one is this about refueling. I need to refuel my obedience to the Word of God. I need to refuel my obedience to the Word of God. You've heard me already say we're going to stand on the Word of God. If we take a pathway different than the Word of God, we're going to end up in a ditch. If we take a pathway different than the Word of God, we're going to end up in trouble. So have I disobeyed any scriptural commands? The Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Do I have known sin in my life? As you sit there right now, do you have known sin in your life? You know that you've done something, said something, thought something, actually had an action where you did something that was sinful before the Lord. The psalmist said this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What prayer does the Lord hear? The prayer of confession. And are you a person that you have known sin in your life? Thought number two, I must refuel my passion in my relationship with God. I love that word passion. Now, we are all passionate about different things. I actually, I find it humorous that there's people passionate about quilting. I mean, that's their life. They are so passionate about quilting. My mother's one of them. I was driving to Phoenix to visit Josh and Liz, and Shelly and I, we were in the car together, and I talked to my mother, and I actually listened to my mother talk to me, and I just said, there was a brief pause, I said, uh-huh, and then she kept on talking. We almost made it all the way to Phoenix with my mom talking to me. But she told me about the quilt that she's made, and she's passionate about quilting, we all have different passions. Some of us were passionate about a sports team. Some of us were passionate about our hobbies. Some of us are passionate about it's wintertime, so it's snow season. We're passionate. We all have different passions. But I ask you this, are you passionate when it comes to your relationship with God? Is your worship pure? Luke chapter 10 says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So is my worship pure, or am I serving just to be seen? Is my heart protected? Is my heart protected? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Someone has said waiting times are not wasting times. We need to make sure that our heart is protected so that the devil can't come and snatch it away from that love that you should have for your God. Thought number three, I need to refuel my purpose for serving in my ministry or my church. I need to refuel my purpose for serving in my church. Am I true to what God has called me to do? The Bible says Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Folks, in 2019, can I have everyone just look up here for just one moment? I know you're taking notes and I appreciate that, but everyone look up here for just one moment. We cannot afford for anyone else to fall into the ditch. We can't. We can't. I need you as your pastor. I'm saying I need you. The devil put a frontal assault on us in 2018. When we think of two church members murdered, and we think of all of the problems that we've had with a solar project. I'm just here to tell you we have the most expensive shade structure in all of Tucson. But glory, hallelujah, it's supposed to be connected this coming week. And so I can't wait. That'll be the only time you see me do a charismatic dance is next Sunday if it's actually hooked up. But it's coming. The devil, he doesn't like it. When we're serving him, listen, we don't need any more casualties where the devil came in and he took and snatched some more church members. We got to be passionate. We got to refuel and understand that our purpose for serving in my ministry. Are you using your gifts? Are you using your gifts? The Bible clearly teaches that the wise man, that he was going to go away. The steward was going to go away. The master was going to go away. And he left behind his servants, and he gave all of them either one talent, three talents, five talents, one, five, 10 talents, the parable that was issued, and the master is coming back to see how the talents were used. Now listen, every single person has one talent. And then I'm looking at people that are multi-gifted and talented. Are you using your talents for the Lord? You need to refuel that purpose and get connected again. Thought number four, we need to refuel those proven principles of your ministry. You need to refuel those proven principles. Are you living by principle or emotion? I addressed that last Sunday night. The Bible just simply says to preachers, preach the word. It didn't say if you feel like it or you're having a good day, you're having a bad day. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Are you living by principle, the word of God, or emotion, what feels good? Well, I'm having a bad day. Oh, it's raining outside. I'm not going to go to church today. I tell you that. Every person who stayed home this morning because it rained outside, you know why they made that decision? Based on feeling. Because if you based your decision on principle, you'd be in church today. Everybody should have said amen because you're here. That was for all the people that aren't here. So we should have all said amen there. Am I living by principle or emotion? Are my methods consistent with Scripture? Does your life line up with Scripture? And David, he girded his sword upon his armor and he assuaged to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. You remember the story? He was going to go up against Goliath. The king, who was bigger than David, was a coward. And he gave David his armor, this little ruddy teenage boy. David said, I haven't even proved these. I can't use these. He took a slingshot that he proved. I ask you, are your methods consistent with Scripture? Are you staying true to God's word? Are your routines constructive? Do you have some, whatever word you want to use, goals? Do you have New Year's resolutions. I hate that word. I just personally don't like it. But do you have a direction? And are you consistent in that? Are you doing constructive things? You know, physical exercise is constructive. Telling others about Jesus Christ is constructive. Coming to church is constructive. Eating healthy is constructive. Reading God's word is constructive. Are there constructive routines in your life? Thought number five, I need to refuel my commitment to engage others. I need to refuel that commitment to engage others. Listen, we've got to work together. We must work together. Someone says the systems we use are not as important as the people we choose. It's not about the process, it's about the people. You are important, and we got to have more people. Henry Ford said, coming together is a beginning, staying together is progress, working together is success. Even though he was talking about Ford Motor Company, I mean, I just tell you, that applies to the church, too. We've got to work together as a team and see what God can do. I'm moving quickly through my notes. If you really want the other answers, we can give those to you later. Thought number six, I need to refuel my routine with a balanced schedule. I need to refuel my routine with a balanced schedule. Do you recognize the danger of falling away or fatigue? Do you recognize when you are not engaged? Now that happens through a different variety of ways. It could be financial stress at home. It could be a problem with a husband and wife arguing with each other. It could be problem with our children, job issues. There's different ways that we can just kind of fall away. There's a danger of fatigue. Some of those ways that's exhibited is that you're anxious, or you have anxiety, you have irritability, or you have anger, or you have self-doubt, or a critical spirit. Those are ways that it manifests itself. Joe Jones raced in the Tour de Tucson a couple months ago, Joe. How many miles is that? 102 miles? Wow. I think we should tip our hat to Joe. Joe ran, raced in that, and Joe was given a testimony about how that he started out really, really fast, and I mean, he was like in the front lead, leading every, he was in the front pack. He was burning lots of energy, and he realized that measuring his heart rate, that it was not sustainable what he was doing. So he backed off just a little bit. He refueled himself with whatever his drinks and his snacks were, and then he got into his rhythm, his pace. And you know what's amazing? Joe finished up toward the front of that race in his age category. It's absolutely amazing what he did in that 100-mile race. But he, along the way, had to make some adjustments. Are you recognizing that maybe in your life you need to make some adjustments? Do you take time to balance the imbalanced? Someone said our ability to fully engage depends on our ability to disengage. Is everything high stress? I am so busy, I can't think, and therefore everything falls apart. And you know what always falls apart first? May I just share with you? I quit reading God's word. I stop praying. And then I don't have to go to church all the time. As long as I make an appearance every now and then, it's all good. But all the other things are really important. I still have to go here. I still have to do this. Those are really important. But Bible reading, prayer, going to church, I put those aside. You know what happens? Is that accentuates the anxiety and stress in your life in the other areas. Because you've taken the fuel out of your life. Thought number seven, I need to refuel my relationships to protect our church. I need to refuel my relationships to protect our church. Am I willing to confront to avoid a problem? Or do I just, like I have a rug up here, do I just sweep things under the rug? The Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There are three types of people. There are those who hide, there are those who hurl, and those who are healers. Sometimes people hide from problems. Some people hurl their insults, and other people, they want to heal a situation. Which one would you be? You see, when we're tired and weary, we won't make decisions to correct problems, and we're going to avoid just hoping they get better. Am I willing to confront rather than to accept mediocrity? I'm so thankful that throughout our ministry, we take things seriously. We want to do things right. I'm thankful for Dan Taylor in our Awana ministry who put so much time and effort into overseeing that everything is done right. All of the little details are taken care of as he oversees that ministry. Or we could take Pastor Shane in our discipleship, knowing exactly what's going on with all those who are discipling and those who are being discipled. Attention to detail. In the Harvard Business Review, I read this: failure to deal with underperformers is an extremely common problem of corporations, and it's usually the result of the leader's emotional blockages. Folks, we want to do things right here at Tucson Baptist Church. And we want to make sure that when the unsaved or when the people come to visit our church, that they know that we do not accept mediocrity. Follow the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he ever do anything in a mediocre way? Not once. There's not a single example in all of Scripture that he did something just haphazard. When you look at all the miracles, he did them far above what someone could ask or think. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. But verse 29 is a verse that often we don't read or quote. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God knows the trials we face. All circumstances which are out of my control are in the will of God. So we need to make sure that we are where we're supposed to be. We need to refuel. Now, that's from the scripture side. Let me give you a practical illustration. I have over here, and some of you are wondering, did they forget to clean up over the weekend? I have over here a generator. Now, I am told in the instructions of this generator that if you were to have this generator at your house, that you could plug in your house, it could light your entire house, keep your refrigerator running, keep your freezer running, and it could even let you do a load of laundry. Now, it wouldn't be sufficient to run your air conditioning, but it could do all of those. This little generator, and it looks nice and it's pretty cool, but there's one thing that's an absolute certainty that must be in this generator for it to produce electricity or power. What is it? Must have fuel. In fact, it has a pull starter here somewhere, and you can tell how often I use it. Oh, here it is. Okay, I can pull on this thing and pull on this thing all day, but there's no fuel. It's not lighting up anything. Let me illustrate it a different way. I have here before me a brand spanking new chainsaw. There's nary a scratch anywhere on it. I mean, this thing is pristine. It's beautiful. Right, men?
Yeah.
I mean, for $450, I could put you into this chainsaw. Now, you know what I think I'm going to do? It is so beautiful, so amazing that I have a shelf in my office that I'm going to put it on, just so I can look at it. Is that the purpose of the chainsaw? This chainsaw is lacking one thing for it to work. What do you think it's lacking? In fact, I look right here, and there's a little tank, and there's not a single drop of fuel in it. There are some people in our church, you look pretty. I'd like to take you and put you on a shelf in my office and just look at you every day. You're pretty. You got it all together. On the outside, it looks like. And you know what? You may have a fat checking account. You may have $450 to buy this chainsaw, and it would be nothing. But this chainsaw was intended to do what? is intended to cut trees. And it's not serving its purpose. It's out of fuel. Now, there's another chainsaw here. Hey, Troy, why don't you come and help me here? This chainsaw, oh my word, this chainsaw has scratches on it. This thing has some character about it. Troy, I think that you're familiar with how to use this. Why don't you see, is there fuel in that? Would it be usable? Whoa! Okay, it worked. All right. Good. Okay. So this could do the job. What does it have?
Fuel.
That's fuel. This one's sure prettier. There's no scratches on it. It's in perfect condition, mint condition. I ask you, we got a big tree we need to cut down. Which one are you taking? You'll take the one that has fuel in it. You take the one that has character. Hey, the lights are out at your house. We have a generator. It's no good. It's no fuel. I think some of you see where I'm going with this. There's hundreds of people here today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for loving your church. Thank you for being interested in your church. But the fact is, some of you are out of fuel. You look good, but you're not useful. Really, if I brought you into my office and put you in a space on my shelf and just looked at you every day, that's about all that you're useful for, someone to look at you. But that's not what God intended for you. We've got to refuel. Every one of us, we've got to refuel. We've got to get back into the game. We've got to serve God in our local church. That's how He prescribed it. You say, I don't like that. Take it up with God. He said He's going to use His bride, the church, and you need to be a part of your church. How do we refuel? Okay, Pastor, I need to refuel. Well, we have a gift for you today, and I'm going to challenge every single church member to join me and let's refuel. Now, obviously, that takes a gasoline mixture for that chainsaw to work. This takes straight gasoline. The big generators we used at Journey Through Christmas took diesel. There's different kinds of fuel. But I'm talking about Christians at Tucson Baptist Church that need to get refueled. What's the first thing that goes away? Our Bible reading. Devotion time. In the lobby, there is this book. It has your family name on it. And after the service, I'm going to ask you to pick it up. It takes 5 minutes a day. That's all we're asking. 5 minutes a day. I'm a little ahead of you because Shelley and I have read the first 5 days of this year. Tonight we'll read January 6th. It's date specific. It's fascinating. I've learned something every single day. I didn't know that Dwight Moody served in the Civil War. I didn't know that Billy Sunday, that great, tremendous preacher from yesteryear, his first message, he had to borrow his notes from J. Wilbur Chapman. This has been fascinating. It's been great reading. You know what? If we as a church, we can use this as a devotion to refuel. Gives us something to talk about. Gives us something to, hey, did you read that about Pastor Howard? Who have you read about?
Mel Trotter.
Have you read about Mel Trotter? I don't know what you're talking about. Uh-oh, you just gave it away. You're not refueled. But if Pastor Howard says, hey, what did you think about that story about Mel Trotter? Well, that was 2 days ago when we read about Mel Trotter. Our staff got these, and so we started on January 1. You're going to start on January 6th. They're date specific. I want you to take it. I want you to refuel. 5 minutes a day. One page. Three or four scriptures that talk about the thought of that day. It's a brand new book that just came out. I fell in love with it. I'm going through it for the very first time. And so in the lobby, if you're a church member, there's one with your name on it. If you're a regular attender, Tabitha. Where's Tabitha? Tabitha, if you'll please stand. In the lobby, there'll be Tabitha. She'll be next to the grandfather clock. She has a book for you. If you can't find your name, that means that there's some missing information and we're going to finally get it. And so, Tabitha is there, and she is ready to get your information. And so if you're a regular attender, you're visiting with us, and you say, I'll take up that challenge. I need to be refueled. You can see Tabitha. We have plenty of books, one per family. We'd like to make sure every family gets this. And would you just join me? Amen. Let's refuel. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's get refueled. Some of us are empty. Some of us, we look good, but we're empty. We're useless. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. And then there are others who you're like the chainsaw that has fuel in it. You got dings and nicks. You got cuts and bruises. You got the scars of serving, but you're still serving. The fuel's there. Something's driving that. Listen, I'd rather have the scars of serving Jesus than to look like a pretty boy that's in love with the world. But in order to have some of those scars in serving Jesus, I got to stay fueled. And so our first word that we're going to be looking at and examining over these next few weeks is the word refuel. And we're going to challenge you in different ways to refuel, to be engaged. And I want to say thank you so much for being a part of our church. We're not going to have a come forward invitation this morning. And as I was thinking about how to close out this service, I want to be an encouragement to you. And so you can close your Bibles, and I'll close mine too. Why do we do what we do? Why do we need to be refueled? Why do I need to be involved in someone else's life? I'll illustrate it. December 17th, 2018, I actually got a letter that's signed. That certainly would imply that I get letters that are not signed. Dear Pastor Armstrong, I wanted to let you know that I watched your live stream on your Christmas program, and it was great. From the singing to the preaching, it was awesome. I wanted to say thank you for your influence in my life when I was younger. You helped to instill a foundation of knowledge for what it means to be a true follower of Christ. You showed that to me through actions and not just words. I remember several times just being able to talk to you and hold a conversation while seeing you as a friend, not just my pastor. I remember going to your office and getting a candy bar for taking notes during your messages or filling out your outlines. When you guys moved away, it was extremely sad. But I also know that another person just like me got to be influenced by your preaching and leadership. I know that you've been attacked a lot because of your stand, but this bus kid wanted to thank you for what you did in his life. I'm now on the staff, and he mentions the church in Sandy Springs, South Carolina, where I oversee the children's ministry and lead the Sunday morning worship services. Your investment in me helped me to lead me where I am today. I know you have a lot going on and are always busy, but I wanted to tell you thank you. Thank you for investing in me, Pastor Armstrong. I'm forever grateful for what you've done for me. Why do we do what we do? So that we can make an impact in someone's life. The truth is, this came from a young man named Josh, and he was a bus kid. He had lots of struggles, and here he is now. He's a grown man serving because he's been refueled in his church. Could someone write a letter where you have invested in them? Church, it's time that 2019 is a year that we make a profound difference in our community, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, as we tell others about Jesus Christ.